Praise the Lord, everybody.
Praise
good
Lord.
To be in the house of God tonight and to see you and to see several people online listening and watching. And to know that God is with us. That's the main thing. God is with us. If it were not for God being in this, I wouldn't want to be in it either. But since God likes this and He put it together, I want to be in it with all my heart. Amen, because He loves working with His people. And His people love working with God. You don't have to make people live right when they're dedicated to God. It's just a privilege and an honor to be able to please our Master. You know, if you have a puppy dog, you don't have to make him go eat his food. He will just eat the food. Because it's good and it's there and he's hungry. And if God is your master, you will be like that little puppy dog. Amen. We will just want to be here to eat the food because we're hungry. Amen. God's not making me do anything. I do what I do because I love Him. I go to church because I love God. I sing because I'm happy. Amen. I clap my hands in response to something that's going on, not to try to show anybody anything or make anything happen. I say hallelujah as a response. Amen. I'm being blessed. I'm being touched. I'm being helped. I'm being uplifted. And it brings out a hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Amen. Isn't God wonderful? You know what they call people like us? Holy rollers, fanatics, extremists, off the deep end crazy people, apostolics, Pentecostals, harebrains, idiots, fools. Amen. Peculiar. Strange. Amen. Amen. But I'm glad to be of the good group that God loves. No matter how we may seem to some, God knows what we are. We're His children. Sheep of His pasture. I'll just sing about what we are. Amen.
Well, I am happy as I march along, and I am singing a brand new song, since the Holy Ghost is mine. Well, it makes me laugh and it makes me shout, I've got joy instead of doubt, since the Holy Ghost is mine.
And I've repented,
and I've been baptized in Jesus' name.
I spoke in tongues,
I spoke in other tongues. When it came,
it's like
sweeter than honey in the comb.
And it's like
fire shut up in my bones.
Since the Holy Ghost is mine. Thank you, Jesus.
And I've been baptized
in Jesus' name. I spoke in tongues.
I spoke in other tongues. When it came,
it's like
sweeter than honey in the comb.
And it's like
fire shut up in my bones.
Since the Holy Ghost is mine. Well, I am happy,
happy as I march along,
and I am
singing a brand new song,
since the Holy Ghost is mine. It makes me laugh
and it makes me shout,
cause I've got joy
instead of doubt.
Oh, since the
Holy Ghost is mine.
Oh, I've repented,
and I've been baptized in Jesus' name.
I spoke in tongues,
I spoke in other tongues. When it came,
it's like
sweeter than honey in the
and
comb.
It's like
fire shut up in my bones.
Since the Holy Ghost is mine. Amen. There's something about this Holy Ghost.
Makes
you clap your hands, stomp your feet, shout amen. Amen. Something about the Holy Ghost makes you feel good when your body's feeling tired and run down. Still makes you feel good anyhow. Amen. When you got problems, the step up on top of them. I've got the Holy Ghost tonight. Oh, yes.
I've got it.
Oh, do you have it? Isn't he good? There's something about the power of the Holy Ghost. I can't explain it, but I've got it. Oh, I've got it. Well, I've got it. I've got it. I've got it. I've got it. There's something about the power of the Holy Ghost. I can't explain it, but I've got it. Oh, I've got it.
Amen. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promises unto you and to your children and to all. Everybody say to all. To all that are afar off. That's in the UK. Amen. Australia. Amen. Groton and New London, Mystic, even Norwich. Hallelujah.
I'm a one God, apostolic tongue talking, holy roller, born again, heaven bound believer in the liberated power of Jesus' name.
'Cause I've been washed in the blood, sanctified by the Spirit. I believe in holiness and I suggest you do the same.
I was set free at a Pentecostal meeting on my knees. Won't you pardon me if I'm not ashamed? To be a one God, apostolic tongue talking, holy roller, born again, heaven bound believer in the liberated power of Jesus' name. And I am happy as a march along.
Well, I am
singing a brand new song. Since the Holy Ghost is mine. Well, it makes me laugh
and it makes me shout.
And I've got joy
instead of doubt.
Since the Holy Ghost is mine.
And I've repented
and I've been baptized in Jesus' name.
I spoke in tongues.
I spoke in other tongues.
When it came, it's like
plenty and honey in the
and
bone.
It's like fire
shut up in my bones.
Since the Holy Ghost is mine.
That's what I'm talking about. Amen. That's what I'm talking about. That's what we are. Holy Ghost-filled people. The world is something that we have separated ourselves from. We are sanctified through the power of Jesus' name. Blood bought. That's why some of you that feel something different and like it so much when you tune in to these broadcasts and to the internet and you hear the singing and the rejoicing and you stick around because there's something different, something good, something that's making you happy. That's what it's all about. And sometimes we need to talk about it so you will understand more clearly why there is a difference. And what some may call Christianity and real people of God. You can walk up to just about any church-going person anywhere in the world and say, are you a Christian? And they will say, yes, I am. But are you a child of God? Amen. Have you been born again of the water and of the Spirit? Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Are you able to say that I have received what they received in the Bible, in the book of Acts, on the day of Pentecost? The Holy Spirit that fell upon all the people that assembled together, and they all spoke with tongues. They all spoke with tongues as the Spirit of God gave them the utterance. They all spoke as the Spirit of God spoke through them. That's what happens when you receive the Holy Ghost. There are a lot of people who say, I'm crazy when I say that, but it's still the truth. It's still the truth. When you receive the Holy Ghost, God takes control of everything, including that part that gossiped, murmured, lied, cursed, swore, gave people a lashing. The hardest member we have to ever give up completely and take our hands off of the controls is that little tongue. Gets us in trouble so many times. Amen. If God said, pat your feet and you'll know you got the Holy Ghost, we'd have no problem with that. If he said, when you start clapping your hands, you'll know you've got the Holy Ghost. We'd have no problem with that. Jump up and down. You'll know you've received the Holy Ghost. Be charismatic. Just do all kinds of things. Be happy. Act happy. You know, just get excited. You'll know you've got the Holy Ghost. Tell somebody that you've been healed and you'll know you got the Holy Ghost. If that were all in the Word of God, we'd have no trouble with that. But when he said, we know they received the Holy Ghost for we heard them speak with tongues. That's in Acts the 10th chapter, by the way, in case you don't know that's in the Bible. We know they received the Holy Ghost for we heard them speak with tongues. Oh, that blows the mind of the so-called Christians. Because they don't know they received the Holy Ghost because they didn't speak in tongues. Amen. I'm glad I got it. I'm glad I have God in my life. You know what? The same Word of God that's available for me is available for you, 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 and you. There is nobody in the world that cannot look into the Bible for yourself and find out what's there. Thank you, Jesus. I'm not living my life because somebody told me what God said. They told me what God said, but I wanted to know for myself. And I looked in the Holy Word of God, and it's there. Praise God, it's there. Let's stand for a moment and look at it just for a second here. Praise God. Acts the second chapter. Acts the second chapter. Praise God. Praise God. Acts chapter 2. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven. From where? From Bible school? From seminary? From the religious tradition? This sound came from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Verse number 12, they were all amazed. These are the people who were listening from the outside. They were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what does this mean? What meaneth this? Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. These are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it's but the third hour of the day, but this is that. Everybody say, this is that.
This is that.
This is that.
This is that.
This is that spoken of by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit. Listen, when you receive the Holy Ghost, you're getting something that's in God, and it's coming from God into you. Hallelujah! That's why you speak a different talk. You walk a different walk. Amen. You might say you're marching to the beat of a different drummer. Let's raise our hands and praise the Lord tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. I thank you, Lord, for the Holy Ghost. I thank you, Lord, for baptism in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for the ability to freely speak about the experience of God's Spirit dwelling in my life and in our lives and being available for everybody everywhere. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You may be seated. Amen. So here we are, talking a language that people don't hear in most churches. It's suppressed. You get excited in some so-called churches, large assemblies and big staff of people on payroll and a lot of property and a lot of people seemingly doing what they should be doing. They look like Christians, smell like Christians, act like Christians. But if you start getting excited about what God is doing in your life and you start raising those hands and saying, hallelujah! And if you start speaking in tongues a little bit, you may be escorted off the premises. Because God's order is out of order in many places today. But I thank God I'm in a place where God's order is the order here. That's why it's different. That's why so many people tune into Arms Around the World and say, this is different. Others tune in and say, I don't like this at all. I'm out of here. And others tune in and say, not only is it different, but I'm being touched and I'm blessed. And I don't know what's going on, but I'm crying. Tears are running down my face. What is this? This is that spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last day, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Amen. You're experiencing pouring out of the Spirit of God. If God said, if you have tears in your eyes, that'll mean you've got the Holy Ghost, you could probably shout, Hallelujah, I've received it. But it went beyond crying. Amen. If you want to know you've got it, go ahead and turn your tongue loose. Loosen up your tongue. It's easy to cry, but sometimes it's hard to turn loose of that tongue. We wanted to say what we wanted to say. And if it starts to say something we didn't plan, amen, then we kind of take charge. God says, give it to me. Give it to me. Give it to me. Let my spirit come into you. And then let me have control of that that you don't want to turn loose of. Hallelujah. You know why people dress different in an apostolic church? It's not because of a dress code. I hear so much about the UPC and their dress code from people who don't understand. The UPC does not have a dress code. And I'm not here to speak for or against the UPC. Amen. The people of God are separated unto God, and what is happening is the dress codes of the world do not affect us. We don't go with the latest Hollywood styles, and we don't necessarily go with what's popular. Amen. It's not the putting on of apparel that makes us what we are. It's not the kind of ring that we might wear, praise God, that brings about the adorning that causes us to be different in this world. Praise God. It's not the knowledge that we possess that causes us to be so powerful in what God is doing in our lives, but it's the experience of Christ in us, the hope of glory. Hallelujah. And when we received Christ in us, it came with speaking in tongues and baptism in the name of Jesus and living a holy, separated life unto God, not caring what anybody thinks, not going where everybody goes, not doing what everybody does, daring to stand and not give in and not bow down just because the crowd is doing it. We don't have to do it because they do it. We've got a God that we serve. His Spirit came from Him into us. Amen. I hear people say, what would Jesus do? You've heard that before. Amen. Well, you look at the real people of God and you'll find out. Because we do what Jesus would do. That's why the women dress like women and the men dress like men. And when we say it, people get offended and leave the church. But they're not the church people that leave. Glory to God. Oh boy. I'm not here to preach clotheslines. As I said, we don't have a dress code. But I'm not wearing a dress, as you can see. And I'm going to tell you something. If the order of the day would suddenly say that all men wear dresses and that women wear pants, I would still wear pants and not wear a dress. Because I do not listen to what the world imposes upon me to have to do to please everybody else. Amen. But you know, my dressing and wearing pants has nothing to do with any code. What it is submission to God. And I just put my clothes on. And it turns out to be clothes that pertain to men. And nothing feminine about them. And women should do the same. You know what? There are scriptures in the Old Testament that talk about an abomination to God. If you can ever discover anything in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation that ever was an abomination to God, then you better get that out of your life.
Hallelujah.
If there's anything that you can read in the Bible that God ever says that was or is or ever shall be an abomination to God. If you want to be God's child, then change.
But I can't. There's some things I just got to do. No. Wait a minute. Give that tongue to God. Shut up. Let God take over. I'm going to tell you what, there's something about the release in the Holy Ghost. It makes you willing to do anything that God wants you to do. It doesn't matter what it is. Praise God. God's never going to impose on you something that you cannot handle. He's not ever going to instruct you to do something you can't do. He's not ever going to give you some kind of rule that you can't live up to. God's way is an easy way. It's a wonderful way. It's an awesome, good way. Praise God. Amen. I'm not in bondage today because I dress like I dress. I'm not in bondage today because I don't smoke when everybody else smokes their cigarettes. I'm not in bondage today because I don't take a drink when everybody else drinks their beer and their whiskey. I'm not in bondage today because I choose to live a holy life. I am set free from bondage. Those that are bound are depending on things of this world to make them happy, but it only lasts for a little while. We that are free are depending on God, and this lasts forever. Hallelujah! We're free tonight. We're free to worship God. We're free to do what God would have us to do, because God loves His children, and His children love God. Well, why don't you go to this place with me tonight? I mean, the preacher doesn't have to know about it. You know, we'll just go quietly. Look, nobody here tonight is here because of what the preacher knows about you. There may be some that aren't here because of what the preacher knows. But nobody came here tonight because of what the preacher knows. Hallelujah. Nobody's here tonight because the preacher made a phone call and said, you better get yourself in church. Nobody's here tonight because we have a rule book that says, if you miss, you're in trouble. Amen. I talk big sometimes. And I tell people, you need to go to church. You don't need to miss. You need to be faithful. But that's just the Word of God. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as a manner of some is. But I don't enforce the rules. And if you choose to not be faithful, that's your choice. We're still going to preach it. Still going to teach it. You're still going to be welcome. And when you decide to get faithful again, you can help us preach it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The message doesn't change just because some people change. It's still Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And His Word is forever settled in heaven. God doesn't change with the wind. He doesn't change with the whims. He doesn't change when people change their minds and their attitudes. God remains constant. And His people remain constant. We remain steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the love of God. Hallelujah. So in the original church, they received the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues. They received the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? How many of you can say with a real loud voice, amen to that?
Amen.
Well, with all these witnesses, do you think Brother Joe and Sister Karen will be telling you a lie? They say they received the Holy Ghost speaking with tongues. Brother Rick, Sister Gloria say they received the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues. Brother and Sister Bradley raised their voices and said, we received the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues. Brother Philip received the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues. Sister Isabel received the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues. Brother Mike and Sister Jennifer received the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues. Sister Sharon received the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues. Brother Dana received the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues. Brother Sister Atkinson received the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues. I received the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues. So why don't everybody just go ahead and receive the Holy Ghost and speak in tongues? Hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus. Let's praise Him. Let's praise Him. Let's praise Him. Hallelujah. See, it takes the lying out of your tongue when you let God speak through your tongue. It takes the cursing and the swearing and the backbiting and the murmuring and the complaining. It takes it all out of you. when you let God have control of your tongue.
Thank you, Jesus.
Not only do you speak with new tongues as unto God, but you speak with new tongues as unto men. Whether you can speak with understanding or no understanding, when you talk, your conversation changes. You don't talk like you used to talk. They hear a new tongue coming from you. Minus all the backbiting. Minus all the murmuring. Minus all the gossip. Praise God, it's a new tongue. It's God's tongue. It's God's tongue. Thank you, Lord. All right. There's nothing to be ashamed about. Some people are afraid to talk in tongues, afraid they're, or talk about talking in tongues, afraid they're going to offend somebody. Praise God. Let's go to Acts the 19th chapter. Acts the 19th chapter. It's so popular to be a Christian today and to believe that it's not necessary, that if you get in a group of people that preaches it as the book teaches it, amen, you might find that sometimes the bills are a little hard to pay and you have to struggle a little bit and wonder how it's going to get done, because there's not usually many people there to pay the bills. And even in a large congregation, many times you'll only find out of 200 people, about 25 that really, really, really do believe this with all their heart enough to be willing to give their life and everything they've got for it. And then the rest of the 175 are just going along with the flow, trying to live right, trying to do right, and trying to make sure they're at church, they don't have to work. Hallelujah. Some of us are at church, whether we get to work or not, whether we get paid or not, whether we're sick or not. Why? You people are so strict that you make your people do that? No, 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 no. We're so happy that we can't wait to get to church. Because God gave us His Spirit, and He likes to go to church. And so when God goes to church and His Spirit's in me, I'm just drawn to this place. It's a love pull. It's a love pull. It's God saying, I love me. Come on, let's go. Amen. I don't have to go very far. I've fixed it so I don't have to go far to get to church. Hallelujah. I love living in the church. Amen. 30 minutes before church, I have to get out of my recliner or out of what I'm doing real fast, because people start showing up. Amen. Amen. I stopped at a convenience store this week in the middle of the afternoon. The lady said, my, you're early this time. I said, yeah, I got up for a change. She said, what do you do, sleep all day? We were just cutting up, because she used to see me come by after church. Went by there a few nights ago, and there was a lady standing on the outside. And so she looked at me while she smoked her cigarette, as I was walking across the front of the store, and she was one of the store workers, but I hadn't met her. She was a new employee. And so she said, oh, you're all dressed up. Where you been? To the casino? I said, no, guess again. You've been on a hot date, she said. I said, guess again. You're missing it by a long shot. She said, what would a man be doing out here at 10 o'clock at night dressed in a suit unless you've been to the casino or on a date? I said, would you believe I've been to church? Her little cigarette just started shaking. And she said, oh, okay, okay. She wanted to talk about hot dates and casino, but she didn't want to hear about church. Praise God. I'm glad to be able to tell people, I just got out of church. On Tuesday night, Thursday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night. And for me, on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, no matter where it is and when it is, I can say I just came from the church. Been working for God today. Been talking to some people. They're interested in getting the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues and being baptized in Jesus' name. Amen. We got people in Australia receiving the Holy Ghost. We got people in California receiving the Holy Ghost. I just love to tell the owner of this building that people are receiving the Holy Ghost. Our meter man came in a few days ago. He said, "How's it going?" I said, "People are being healed and set free from sin all over the world." He looked at me real funny. I said, "Come here and look, look, look." And I showed him on the internet. I showed him testimonies. Showed him video. I told him the testimony about people are being healed. The next time he came in, he said, "So how are they doing? Those people that were sick." I said, "They're still going on. Praise God." He said, "Have you been out to see the sunshine today?" I said, "Not yet." He said, "Y'all go out sometimes." I said, "I do." Praise God. Because all he ever sees is me sitting here doing something for God. Praise God. Wouldn't it be something if our meter reader man would come in here and just receive the Holy Ghost one day while he's reading those meters? He did tell me to pray for him one time. Whisper, he said, "Whisper a prayer for me." I wonder why he wanted me to whisper. "Whisper a prayer for me." Praise God. Amen. 19th chapter of Acts. Paul here meeting with some people who were disciples of John the Baptist. Amen. He said, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" They said, "We have not heard whether there be any Holy Ghost." He said unto them, "Under what then were you baptized?" And they said, "Unto John's baptism." Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they went to their pastor to get his opinion. No, that's not what they did. When they heard this, they went to a friend to see what they had to say about it. No. Paul said that John baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people they should believe on him which should come after him, that's on Christ Jesus. There are a lot of people telling people you need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ today. Amen. If that was all it took to be saved, we could say that there are millions of people filling up these great big auditoriums and buildings, and they're all saved. But I'm asking you today, are you a child of God filled with the Holy Ghost? Baptized in Jesus' name? Hallelujah. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? These people didn't argue back and say, "Well, we got it when we believed. Don't you know that? Don't you know when you believe, when you become a believer, you're saved at that point?" They didn't have that argument. All they did was when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Why don't everybody do that? Why doesn't everybody, when you hear this, get yourself baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus? And they didn't argue. John's baptism was just as good. They didn't even know the argument of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. They never had heard of a Trinity. That word had never been discussed. That came later. They never heard of three persons in the Godhead. That had never even been in their minds. They had never heard that you can be baptized using the words Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. That had never, ever even been thought about by these people. Praise God. All they knew was John's baptism telling them to believe on the Lord and be baptized, repenting, and something greater is just ahead for you, and you submit to that because it's for you. God's going to do a great work in your life.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and see what Jesus wants you to do, was his message. Glory to God. Paul said John baptized with baptism of repentance, saying to the people they should believe on him which should come after him, that's on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. That's what happens when we receive the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. We speak in tongues. That's what happens when we get saved according to the Bible. We get baptized in Jesus' name and we receive the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance. Hallelujah. That's That's how you receive God in your life. Don't you want to live for God? Don't you want to be a true child of God? Don't you want to go to heaven? Don't you want to make it? Don't you want to be something beyond a pretender? Don't you want the real thing that God has available? Are you not willing to give up everything in order to have everything? Praise God. Give up your tongue. Let God speak through you. If God had said, if you give good offerings, you can be saved. A lot of us will try our best to give good offerings. Good offerings do not save people. But saved people give good offerings. Why? Because God talks about cheerful givers. It's better to give than to receive. And gives us examples in the Word of God where people gave all. And examples in the Word of God where the man of God all through the Old Testament was taken care of with tithes and offerings were brought under God's order. Amen. And there are all kinds of things in the New Testament that back up what was written in the Old Testament. And a lot of things in the Old Testament that go forward as shadows and types of things to come that we can enjoy in the New Testament church. Praise God. We are not under the law to have to receive your tithes and offerings. But we're just looking for a reason to be able to give. So we found in the Old Testament how they did it. Tithes and offerings. We don't do it exactly how they did it. We don't come with a tenth of all of our animals and a tenth of all of our properties and a tenth of all this, tenth of all that. But we give tithes and offerings as a token of appreciation for what God has done for us. And it's something that God likes. It's something that God ordained. It's something that God approved of. So why not give your tithes and your offerings when you come to the house of God with a smile on your face? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When they heard this, they received the Holy Ghost, spoke in tongues. They were baptized in Jesus' name. There's just 12 of them. And they went into the synagogue and spoke boldly for 3 months. Paul did, persuading and disputing the things concerning the kingdom of God. When some were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way. I've heard those words before. That way, before the multitude. What did he do? Stay around and debate with them? Challenge them? No, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. And this continued for a space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greek. Amen. You don't have to argue, just tell it. Amen. When they go against you, just go somewhere else in the area and keep telling it. Praise God. Just stick around for a while until everybody hears it. When they ask you questions, you don't have anything to be ashamed of. But I don't know the Word of God that well. Do you know God? He is the Word through Jesus Christ in you. You know Jesus, you have the Word. Just open your mouth, let God speak. Yield your tongue to God. You know what? Speaking in tongues is not just only the accompanying sign that comes when you receive the Holy Ghost, where you speak in a language that God understands, and possibly nobody else around, including yourself, will understand. It's a sign that God gives with the Holy Ghost. But speaking in tongues can also be something else. Just speaking in a way that people can understand the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. These are new tongues to some people. Now, that's not the way God said it to receive the Holy Ghost. But when you receive the Holy Ghost, you will speak with new tongues, including the tongues that they can understand and the truth that's in the Word of God. Amen. Let's clap our hands to Jesus tonight. Praise Him. Hallelujah. People keep throwing in my face the 13th and 14th chapters of 1 Corinthians. They keep telling me things that, such as, speaking in tongues is not for you today. I hear that from a lot of people.
And I hear some say that I'm going to go get another opinion about this. Well, look, if you want to know about speaking in tongues, talk to somebody that knows something about it. Hallelujah. You go to an unbeliever and get an opinion, you'll always find out that their opinion is just like your opinion if you're an unbeliever. They don't believe it, you don't believe it. But if you want to know the truth, go to somebody that's experienced something. Hallelujah. Praise God. You want to know if speaking in tongues is real? Ask one of us. You want a second opinion? Go to Brother Joe. Go to Sister Gloria. Go to Brother Bradley. Go to Sister Sharon. Hey, we got a lot of opinions here to guide you in the right way. Your neighbor may not do that. Hallelujah. You want to know if this is real? Talk to somebody that's real with God. 13th chapter. Amen. This whole chapter is about love. The word charity is used interchangeable with the word love. And it talks about how if we speak with tongues of men and angels and have not love, we're become as just a sound that means nothing, a tinkling cymbal sound. And if we have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge and even have faith so that we can remove mountains and we don't have love, it's talking about if we don't have the love, then all these other things we have amount to nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, all these good things that I did, all the good charities and all the good things I did to help others meant nothing. Amen. It didn't profit me anything. It might have helped them for a season, but it didn't help me. All the good that I did didn't do anything for me if I didn't have love. Love suffereth long. It puts up with a lot, and it's kind. We need to tell that to a lot of the people on the Good News Cafe. Love is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself and is not puffed up. Amen. It does not behave itself unseemly. Does not seek her own. Is not easily provoked and thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. In other words, you can get crossed up by somebody that doesn't agree with you, but you're going to love them anyhow. You're going to find a way to let love be without pretense. When they get through with their argument and get through with all the things, if that's a brother, if that's a sister, if that's somebody in the apostolic movement, no matter what they believe about prophecy, no matter what they believe about their viewpoints on standards, when it's all over with, you'll be able to look them in the eye and say, I still care about you, I still love you, and I am your brother, I am your sister, and nothing shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We would never have to ban anybody in any of our programs, if everybody had love. Glory to God. And if you don't have love, you don't have the Holy Ghost either. Let's clap our hands to Jesus. Hallelujah! Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things. You can be talking to somebody that's completely of a different viewpoint, but all the time you're talking to them, love them and hope that they will see the light and know the truth. Don't talk to them because you want them destroyed or because you're mad or angry. Hey, we put away all that stuff when we came to Jesus. Praise God. Charity never fails. Love never fails. And here's where they come at me and they say, now look at this. Amen. Where there be prophecies, they shall fail. Where there be tongues, and then they say, look, 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 right there it says it. Tongues shall cease. Yeah, so listen to this. They want to talk about the tongue part, but they don't want to talk about the rest of it. All this is saying is keep love in your life. No matter what else comes or goes, make sure that love is there. Love never fails. Prophecies will fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. If you want to use the arguments,
speaking in tongues is not available today, then also you need to conclude that knowledge is not available today. If you can't speak in tongues today, you can't know anything today. But if you know anything, hey, you can get the Holy Ghost and speak in tongues. Just make sure you keep the love of God in your heart. Make sure you keep loving your neighbor as yourself. Say, well, I was under the law. Yeah, it's God's law. And He put His law in our hearts. And if anybody should live up to that kind of law, it's the people of God. Love your enemies. Love those who despitefully use you. Praise God. Love your neighbor. Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. Amen. That's not a rule that I'm getting out of the Old Testament that I'm trying to live up to some law of commandments. Hey, it's no longer a commandment with me. Praise God. It's an opportunity of love to my God. I automatically obey Him because I love Him. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. He didn't say, I command you to love me, so do it. But if you love me, and when we love Him, we keep His commandments. Because love never fails. And it always does what God wants us to do. Because Jesus is in us. And Jesus is in God. And God is love. And God is in us. And how can we not love? Who can separate us from the love of God? Amen. So He said, tongues shall cease and knowledge shall vanish away. When those things happen, amen, keep love in your life. We know in part. We prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. Amen. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then, when that which is perfect is come, what is that which is perfect? Love. The whole chapter is about love. Amen. Maybe knowledge did vanish away if you don't know this. Can you not read the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians and conclude that this subject is love? That which is perfect is love. God is love and God is perfect. And when love has come, hallelujah, you won't speak as a child anymore. You'll put away childish things. Amen. Then you'll be able to not just look through a glass darkly and say, this is my opinion, this is what I think about, or this is what my friends told me that I should think about it, or what I heard in my Sunday school class and they taught me that the Lord meant by this. No, when love gets there in its proper way, and you got the Holy Ghost, and you spoke in tongues, got baptized in Jesus' name, then you can see face to face and know as you are known that God loves you and you love God. This has nothing to do with going to heaven and then being able to know as you are known. It has to do with getting the Holy Ghost and having love in your life. Praise God. And let me conclude in the 14th chapter. Amen. Good food. Follow after love. You know why? When you follow after love, now we're not talking about charismatic, I love everybody, let's all do our prayer language thing. When you follow after love, this is talking about following after God. When you follow after the love that this is talking about, the one that endures all things, the love that abideth, the love that stays with you, the love that's always there, even when you lose your faith, you keep your love. Amen. And you love brings you back to your faith. When you lose your hope, you grab hold of love with everything you got. And love brings you back to hope. Love is greater than faith. Love is greater than hope because love keeps you with faith. And love keeps you with hope. And love keeps you with the Holy Ghost. Follow after love. And desire spiritual gifts. And he's talking to the church at Corinthians, and the Corinthian church, the church at Corinth. These people needed somebody to talk to them. They needed somebody to set them straight once in a while. They were caught up in a whole lot of problems. And Paul was a man of God, used of God, to write things to the church at Corinth to set some things in order. And there are a lot of things that were written in the times and according to Jewish law and Jewish customs and the ways that things were even during that time. Women of that day were not allowed to speak in public, in any public gathering, as an authority over any group of men whatsoever. And this enters into the discussion of the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians. But don't you ever read that and let anybody convince you that a woman can't receive the Holy Ghost and speak in tongues in God's glorious church today. Don't you let anybody ever convince you that Holy Ghost speaking in tongues has been done away with and women can't speak in God's Holy Ghost filled church today. If you want to use that, go back to Corinth and live under their customs, and women, shut up. But we need to read the Bible in its whole setting. And we find people prophesying, some of them women and some of them men. We find them all being filled with the Holy Ghost and they're all speaking with other tongues. God uses men and women to carry His Word. God even used an adulterous lady that had five men and was married, was living with a man that was not her husband, to take the gospel message that it is the Lord, it is the Messiah. He sent a woman into town to tell everybody, come and see a man that has told me everything ever I did. God is no respecter of person, and He's not hung up on genders. When you get into the kingdom of God, you crucify your hang-ups, and they're hung up with Him on the cross. Whether you be man or woman, Gentile or Jew, bond or free, we all become as children of God. Amen. We're children of God. By one Spirit, we're all baptized into one body. And God is not wanting us to look around and say, are you a man or are you a woman? You can speak, you can't speak. But let's look at the setting and see what the Word is all about. Come to an understanding and put away your foolish, childish thinking. One woman came to me a few years ago and she said, I thought we didn't believe in women preachers. Why are women speaking in church? Why is that woman up there leading this service? I said, why are you talking? Aren't you a woman? Isn't this the church? Why are you asking the question? Your mouth is flapping right now. And if that's a big subject you're concerned about, you need to shut your mouth. So you come to some understanding, because if you think a woman shouldn't talk in church, you better stop your talking right now. She didn't like that. But she loves me today and she still comes to church. And she got over it. And you know what? Love will do that for us. We will get over it. Let's praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So, Brother Rutledge, are you for women preachers? See the childishness of all this? Those questions come around, they don't hear the message of love. They don't hear the message of Christ in you, the hope of glory. They don't hear the message of God wants you to be His servant. Have one master. Serve God, whether you be male or female, with all your heart. Let Him direct your paths. They don't hear that message. They just zero in on something here and say, so, if you talk nice about a woman that says something in church, you must believe in women preachers. You know what? I never enter into those debates. I just let those childish thinking people, no matter which side they're on, keep their childish thoughts and go ahead and say their childish things while I go seek out somebody that wants to speak in tongues with me.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. That wants to talk about the good things of God. I'm almost through, but I can't finish on this point. I got to go a little further. Amen. Follow after love and desire the spiritual, but rather that you may prophesy. He's talking to a church now. He's talking to a church of Holy Ghost filled, speaking in tongues people. Excited about the Lord, but they're eaten up with zeal and not much knowledge. And they're needing to be taught. They've received the Holy Ghost. And they're enjoying it. It edifies you. When you get the Holy Ghost, You learn to release your tongue to God. You can speak in tongues. You can speak in tongues. And you're excited, and especially if you were in one of these early churches where people had talked to Jesus, been with Jesus, seen the miracles, come together and saw the promise fulfilled. It would be pretty easy for you to just open your mouth and speak in tongues. Hallelujah. But God wanted to establish a church with some understanding and wanted some people to come into it that knows what the Word of God is all about. He that speaks in a known tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. Hey, that's one good reason it's good to speak in tongues. We're talking to God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit the Spirit speaketh mysteries. In the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. But he that prophesieth, this is talking not in the unknown tongues, or the tongues that can't be understood. It's the same word that can be used, he that preaches, or he that talks with inspiration. It's not this, thus saith the Lord thy God, I'm coming soon, very soon, hear ye me. That's not what this is talking about. If you want to know that Jesus is coming soon, just read your Bible. You don't have to have anybody stand up here and prophesy that. It is declared. It is written. If you need to be reminded, I'll tell you now. Thus saith the Lord, Jesus is coming soon. But prophesying is more than that. Yeah, that's right. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I get so perturbed sometimes when I go to some of these conventions. The preacher preaches his heart out. He's been preaching. He's been in the Word of God. He's been on his knees. He's been in prayer. He's been in tears. God gave him a message for the crowd. For an hour and a half, he has spoken the Word of God with the authority and the power, the anointing and the inspiration of God. And when he comes to a silent part of his message, somebody in the audience tells everybody what God has to say. Even men need to be silent in church sometimes. Let the preacher bring the word. Amen. And I'm not here to get into a debate about that. If that's the way you do it, I love you. And if we start doing that here, y'all keep loving me. Because we're going to do whatever God wants us to do. Amen. But when I get through preaching, I don't need any man or woman to tell you what the Lord wants you to hear. This is the prophecy that's being understood. If you have any knowledge, this is what we are saying that needs to be said to the church. I'm not up here speaking in tongues for a solid hour. It wouldn't do you a bit of good. It would help me. It make me feel good. Make me happy. I love to speak in tongues. But what would that edify you or the audience watching and listening in? Somebody needs to get up and stop speaking in tongues and speak in a word from God, so that somebody else can learn that you need the Holy Ghost so you can speak in tongues and be filled with the Holy Ghost and be baptized in Jesus' name. If I speak in tongues for an hour, you won't know that you need to be baptized in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
So I need to stop speaking in tongues long enough to tell you you need to get saved. Then I'll go back to speaking in tongues. But I may wait till after church, and I may do it in church. It's in order to speak in tongues in church. I've met a lot of people said, I was watching your program and I saw somebody speak in tongues a long time ago, of course. And I saw somebody speaking in tongues, but I didn't see anybody interpret the tongue. This is why those persons didn't even believe speaking in tongues is for you today. Just wanted to have an argument. An interpretation, I'll explain something about this in just a moment. I'm trying to get through in 5 minutes. And I've only been going 5 minutes or more. But I'm almost through. It wouldn't hurt us to stay till 20 after 9. Amen. Because somebody needs to get a hold of this. There are millions of people today listening to what each other teach about it, and they're all missing it by 100 yards. Hallelujah. Amen. Interpretation. Let me come back to that in a moment. He that speaks in a tongue speaketh not to men, but unto God, for no man understandeth. Howbeit the Spirit... In the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. But he that prophesies speaketh unto men to edification. In other words, other people are being edified, not just the person doing the speaking now. And exhortation and comfort. he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. And that's good. Edifying yourself is good. Amen. But he that prophesieth edifieth the church. And Paul goes on and writes these words to the church at Corinth. I would that you all, listen to this. All you people think they shouldn't even be speaking in tongues. I would that you all spake with tongues. So he's not doing away with it. He's saying it is in order. But then there's a comma in our King English Bible. But rather that you prophesied. I would that you all spake with tongues. But remember, people need to know what's going on. And it would edify you to speak in tongues, but they need to be edified too. So it would be better for them to be edified than for you to be edified. That's what he's saying. So stop edifying yourself and give a little bit. Because it's better to let them know than for you just stand there and know yourself. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. He that prophesies speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. I would that you all speak with tongues, but rather that you prophesy. For greater is he that prophesieth. Now I heard somebody say, you see there, see there? Prophesying is even greater than tongue speaking. You missed it. Put away childish thinking. He's saying what he's been saying through all this reading. It would be better to speak in a way that they can understand so they can be edified rather than speak in a way that only you can be edified. I would rather that you prophesied, for greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaks with tongues, except he interpret that the church may receive edifying. So, does that mean that you've got to be able... I heard somebody say, you know, I heard somebody speak in tongues for a long time, and then the interpretation came, and it only lasted a couple of seconds. Then I heard somebody else say, you know, he didn't speak in tongues very long, but that interpretation sure was long, huh? Do you think that interpreting tongues that God gives us, that he's talking about, he wants us to stand up here and tell the people what every syllable meant and have God speak to us, telling the meaning of each la-la that God spoke through us so they can understand? Let me tell you what interpretation of tongues is. When people speak in tongues, and you've got some people here that don't understand what's going on, somebody needs to get up and say, let me interpret this for you, folks. This is God blessing this person. This is God speaking to this person. This person is being edified. There's something available for you here. It's in the Word of God. And we're not here to speak in mysteries only. We're here to let you know. And praise God, it could be that God may move on somebody with a word from the Lord. But if that doesn't happen, stay tuned. Because I'm going to bring you a word from the Lord tonight where you can come to an understanding that you can know God. And I want to tell you something, friends and neighbors. If somebody just got through speaking in tongues, I just now gave the interpretation.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Let's praise the Lord tonight. Glory, glory, glory. We're here to edify you. We're here to see that you can be set free. We're here to let you know that you can come to a point of believing and knowing God. Not just making a profession, but really knowing Him. Hallelujah. Somebody speaks in tongues and some sister kind of mad at somebody else interprets. Seen it over and over. I was raised in this. I've seen the best and the worst. I've seen enough of bad stuff. If I didn't have the real God, I'd quit. But I got the real God, so I'm staying. Because there's some good stuff in here. There's some real things in here, not just fake. I've seen people give people a tongue lashing, so-called speaking in tongues, trying to prove, I'm spiritual, listen to me speak in tongues. Hey, that's not as the Spirit of God gives the utterance. Anybody can fake it, but you fake it, you don't make it. When it's real, you don't fake it. When it's God, you don't use it to bless somebody else.
Hallelujah. I saw a woman speak in tongues in a woman's face and point her finger at her, and she was just turning red, just speaking in some kind of tongue. The woman standing there with her hands behind her back, just looking at her. And then she gave the interpretation. Thus saith the Lord, when the battle's over, we will wear the crown. Then she and a group of ladies got up by the piano and grabbed some tambourine and started singing the song. When the battle's over, we used to wear, oh, glory, we used to wear a crown. Glory! While those poor souls just sat there thinking they were being harassed, verbally abused. That's not God's way. And that wasn't God. That same church had a pastor that had just got smoked with, caught with cigarettes, caught smoking. And church was in an uproar and they were divided. That's what all the fuss was about. That's why the spiritual ones thought they had to prove they were spiritual. And speaking tongues at each other. And then tell them what they thought in so-called prophecy. But the man in charge went to the preacher. He said, are you guilty or not guilty? He said, why you ask me that? Don't you believe I'm a man of God? The preacher said, but do you smoke cigarettes? And the pastor said, no, I do not. Have you ever smoked cigarettes? Yes, I have. How long has it been since you quit? He said, just a few minutes ago. It's like a young man we had in our church once. I baptized this young man, and he had had a police record and some things against him, and he had had some problems, but he was applying now for a job. And he hadn't known God very long, if he knew God at all. And I was listening to his conversation as he was being interviewed for a job. And the person giving the interview asked the question, have you ever been in trouble with the law? And I was shocked to hear his answer. He said, no, I have not. But I knew he had been in jail. I knew he had been caught dealing with drugs. I knew of several things he'd been involved in that was on his record. Have you ever done this? Have you ever done that? And he, to listen to his answer to everything, it was just perfect. He had never done anything wrong. After the conversation, I asked him, his name was Dwayne. I said, Dwayne, how do you justify the answers you just gave that person? He said, because I'm a new creature. Let me tell you something, new creatures. When you go out to apply for a job, you better tell what's there, new creature or not. Because they're not going to look at your Holy Ghost experience for your history. Hallelujah, it'll catch up. You know what he was doing? He was lying to that man. I'm going to tell you something, the Holy Ghost doesn't lie. You don't use the Holy Ghost as an excuse to lie and get a job or a promotion. Holy Ghost tells the truth. You know what? And he didn't get that job, by the way, because they checked him out. And wouldn't it have been a better witness if he'd have said, you know, hasn't been that long ago when I stole and I did this, I did that, and I've been in trouble with the law. But I started going to church and God changed my life. I don't do those things anymore. And I would like to have an opportunity, if you could have some understanding, that I'm sincere and I'm trying to do right and I'm trying to better myself. If you could give me a chance, I can prove my worth to you. Wouldn't that have been better than saying, no, I don't have a police record, and then have them to look it up and find out that you do? Oh, God's so good. So let me finish. He that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself, but it's better that you speak in a way that they can be edified. And he that prophesies in this setting is greater than the one speaking in tongues. It doesn't mean that you're greater in the way that you're better than somebody else. It doesn't mean that at all. It just means that this is better in the church for you to be able to clearly be understood rather than just talk in ways that are not understood by anybody other than God. So he that prophesies is greater than he that speaks in tongues, except he interpret, that the church may receive edifying. Now, brethren, if I come to you speaking in tongues, what shall I profit you, except I shall speak to you either by revelation, or by knowledge, or by prophecy, by prophesying, or by doctrine? Amen. And even things without life-giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known what is piped or harped? For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? So likewise, except ye utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For ye shall speak into the air. There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world. None of them is without signification. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto them that speaketh a barbarian. And he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. Even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that you may excel to the edifying of the church. In other words, let God bless you, speak in tongues, and seek that God will take you on from there so that you can be a blessing to others. It's as simple as that. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. Amen. When you're speaking in tongues, you have the whole Word of God behind you. And if you want to interpret what thus saith the Lord, just start giving out the Word of God. And be mindful of those that hear, and that will be the interpretation, because how can you ever interpret what God has said and get through with the service? There's a place to start, a place to stop, and a place to give the altar call. Hallelujah. Now, some are going to say to me, Brother Rhodes, you don't even believe that people are supposed to interpret tongues exactly as they're spoken. I didn't say that. God can do it any way He wants to do it. But I'm reading what Paul wrote to the church here, and I'm not thinking with childish thoughts. I'm thinking with Holy Ghost understanding. It goes against tradition sometimes, but it sure would bring a lot of order if people could start going against traditions and let the preacher, under the anointing inspiration of the Holy Ghost, speak what thus saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Rather than some lady at the end of the sermon taking the authority over everybody else because she had a bad day. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. This is not doing away with anything. I will sing with the spirit, I will sing with the understanding also. Else, when thou shalt bless with the spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen at thy giving of thanks, seeing he understandeth not what you say? For you're giving thanks, and that's good. Well, but the other's not being edified. He's just repeating himself over and over here so that the point will finally come through. People read it, and all they can see here is you don't have to speak in tongues. That's not for you today. Oh, ye of little understanding. I thank my God. I speak in tongues more than you all. He's trying to make it clear. I'm not doing away with this. I'm just trying to teach you to grow up and help somebody. Hallelujah. Ye in the church, yet in the church, I'd rather speak five words with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. See, I don't have to speak in tongues to know I'm saved today. I got saved speaking in tongues. Hallelujah. So I don't have to speak in tongues today to stay saved. Praise God.
It's better for everybody to hear me speak in a way that they can know how to get saved than for me to speak 10,000 words in tongues. It would be better to speak 5 or 6 words and say, repent and be baptized, every one of you. Brethren, be not children in understanding. Howbeit, in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. And the law is written with men of other tongues and other lips I will speak unto this people. Yet for all that will they not hear me, saith the Lord. Wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe. Hey, we already got it. I don't need a sign. Praise God. If I never see God do anything, I still know He's God. If you never speak in tongues, I never speak in tongues again. I still know what He did for me. Tongues are a sign not unto them that believe, but unto them that believe not. It stirs them up. Makes them wonder what's going on. Makes them ask questions. Makes them want to know, what is this all about? There needs to be somebody to interpret and explain what's going on under the anointing and unction of the Holy Ghost. Wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them that believe. We get up here and speak the things of God, and people start saying, amen! Amen! It's not the sinner in the crowd that said, amen! It's not the unbeliever in the crowd that said, oh, hallelujah, that's right! They said, oh me, it cuts me to the heart! When we rejoice at the Word of God, but there's something in that Word of God that pierces through and breaks through the walls, breaks through the barriers, and brings a response to the crowd and the unbeliever who has seen the sign. Here's the Word. Hallelujah. Let's stand and praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Wherefore tongues are not for us, are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them that believe. If therefore the whole church come together in one place and all speak in tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say you are mad? They certainly will. But if all prophesy, and there come in one that believe not or is unlearned, he is convinced of all. He is judged of all. And thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest, and so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. Hallelujah. Let's praise the Lord. That's what this is all about. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. That's what preaching's all about. That's what testifying's all about. Hallelujah. We're not living under Jewish customs and laws today. Women can freely prophesy and speak and let you know, I've been to the water and I've been baptized. I've been set free by the power of the Holy Ghost. That's not taking authority over anybody. That's the Word of God. Hallelujah. My Lord. How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you have a song, a doctrine, a tongue, a revelation, an interpretation, let all things be done unto edifying. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two, or at most by three, and that by course, and let one interpret. If there be no interpreter, let him keep silence. Now this is for men to keep silence in the church. Let him keep silence. The same word that's used later. Praise God. But that doesn't mean that you need to make a doctrine out of it and say from now on all men are to be silent in the church. If there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church and let him speak to himself and to God. Let the prophet speak two or three and let the other judge. If anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let the first hold his peace. For ye may all prophesy one by one that all may learn. He doesn't want us all talking at the same time. Amen. That all may be comforted. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. Amen. Amen. I mean, see, I have a spirit in me that has been redeemed, has been bought with a price. I'm not my own. There's something in me that has been changed. There is a spirit that has now been consumed by the Spirit of God. And sometimes that part of me that makes me feel happy, makes me feel good, makes me get emotional, makes me just jump up and down and shout and clap my hands, has to be subdued. Although I still want to jump. I still want to shout. I still want to speak in tongues. I still want to praise my God. But some people need to hear what God has to say to them. Hallelujah. And so the spirit of the prophet, the prophets are subject to the prophets. You can tell yourself to shut up and sit down and let the preacher preach. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted to them to speak. Who said? Jewish law, Jewish custom. You do not speak in public, women. You wear a veil over your face and all kinds of things, you know. We're not under their customs. We're under God's way. And I'm not here to debate the issue. And I'm not here promoting anything one way or the other. I'm just saying, you people that have a hobby horse, get off of it. Because both sides are wrong. Both sides are wrong. Those that are for it and those that are against it, because they don't love one another. They don't love one another. Let's all come around the front. Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted to them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience. Well, that sure messes up women's lib, doesn't it? As also saith the law. It was the law. Went all the way back to Adam and Eve. And it came as a result of God speaking in the very beginning. The law that came forth as a result of things that are all through the Word of God, that God ordained. Women, do what He tells you to do. And it came all the way down. Praise God. And so these people were right there. Still, you don't break what's traditional up that much over, you know, like, if I tell all of you from now on, you know, we're going to do this different, and you've been doing it this other way all this time, you don't just all of a sudden change something that's just been a part of your life. You can try, but you need help from God sometimes. Praise God. But when you've got a crowd of people coming into the assembly, and it has been law and it has been the way it's supposed to be in public meetings, for it to be this certain way, and you're trying to get people saved, and you don't flaunt your liberty. You don't flaunt before them what you know you could do. Rather than offend the whole community, we're here to love them and try to get them saved. So women, let's do it like it's expected of you. And let the men speak the word and teach you at home. And let's put away the confusion and the division. And if you speak in tongues, control yourself and let somebody talk in their tongue. Let somebody speak it in their language. And don't try to get all bent out of shape because somebody interprets it this way and somebody interprets it that way. Have you ever been in a service? I have. Where somebody spoke in tongues and there were three different interpretations of the same tongue. But only those interpretations that were really in the Word of God could be counted. Any interpretation that says, thus saith the Lord, you need to quit parting your hair on that side. Tinkling cymbal. Amen. I'm through. Just made some new friends and some new enemies. Hallelujah. God's not the author of confusion. Amen. Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak. Amen. It is permitted here. Otherwise, you wouldn't be able to testify, Sister Carolyn. You wouldn't be able to sing, even. Amen, Sister Gloria. You wouldn't be able to get up here and thank the Lord for all He's done for you.
It is permitted. It was permitted there on certain circumstances too. Amen. They just couldn't speak with authority over the men. That's all this is. Amen. Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted to them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for a woman to speak in the church. What? Everybody say, what? Came the word of God out of you? Or came it to you only? He's talking to the church of Corinth. You think you're the only ones that know how to do stuff? He said, you think you got a corner on God's blessings? If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandment of the Lord. And if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy. Forbid not to speak with tongues. Just let all things be done decently and in order. So you don't get your doctrine on who can preach and not preach from the book of 1 Corinthians. You get your lectures on what to do with your hair and how to quit defiling one another's property and how to quit sinning with your neighbor's wife and your own kids. How to quit lying, covering up your lies. You get all kinds of lectures in there. And how to behave yourself in church because a bunch of childish brats going to church that don't even live right needed a letter of correction. If you want to know how to have church, let's go back to Jerusalem. Get in an upper room. Let the Holy Ghost be poured out upon Mary, the mother of Jesus, who prophesied when she was expecting the baby. And spoke in tongues when she got the Holy Ghost. Let's praise the Lord.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, tonight. Thank you. The good word of God.